Welcome to Compliance Perspectives Podcast. I'm Adam Turtletaub from the Society of Corporate Compliance and Ethics and Healthcare Compliance Association. Joining me today from Boston is Gail O'Brien. Gail is president of Strategic Opportunities Group, a longtime executive coach and a leadership expert. Her career includes writing the Ethics Coach column for Entrepreneur Magazine and time at both PwC and Mitsubishi Motors. Gail, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us today.
Thanks very much, Adam.
So I want to talk to you today about an interesting concept that you had called self-seal. What is it exactly, if you could share with people?
Sure. It occurs when we're caught up and locked into the value and the rightness of our own idea, perspective, or position, so that we screen out and dismiss anything that doesn't validate what we already believe. Leadership expert Meg Wheatley has said that we create ourselves by what we choose to notice. And in self-seal, metaphorically, it's like stepping into a Ziploc bag and pulling it over our head and sealing it, except that we don't realize we've done it because we just think that we're right. I was with 60 leaders and high potentials from many companies and organizations earlier this week, and one of the things we talked about was self-seal. I took four aside and I asked them to create a three-minute scenario of a boss having a meeting with three team members, with the boss being wedded to his own idea and the other three expressing concerns about that direction and being discounted. And Adam, what was really interesting was that in the role playing, the boss interrupted frequently, dismissed alternative approaches, and ignored how his team members were reacting by their facial expressions and body language. And he didn't hear the frustration in their voices that was evident at the end. And in the discussion afterward, many of those observing the role playing kept saying that that happened so often in their respective companies and how badly it made them feel. The whole point of the exercise was to show that the implications that self-seal has for increasing ethical vulnerability in organizations and how it can shape negatively a whole team culture.
Yeah, it certainly sounds, you know, highly destructive, sort of like confirmation bias run amok. And it is one of those sad things that we tend to, you know, not realize when we're so wedded to our own beliefs, we can't hear what others have to say and don't realize the impact that's going on.
Exactly.
So what tends to trigger this sort of extreme sort of self-sealed world?
Well, research tells us we're more ethically compromised when we're overloaded and exhausted. And also, as you know, and I know, stress activates our fear of being wrong, of making mistakes. And we feel that we can, at some of those times, only trust our own instincts if, you know, we don't have the context of understanding what our impact is on others when we allow ourselves to go to a place where we're not trusting our team. And being impatient and being wedded to the notion that discussing what is so obvious to us and should be obvious to everybody else is a waste of time is a wonderful way of thinking that we're, you know, being effective and efficient, while at the same time we're demoralizing other people who really need, an awful lot of people need to feel that decisions are being made as a result of vetting a variety of options. I mean, that's smart management. But in the impatience of being overloaded and needing to get on to the next meeting, a very well-intentioned boss can simply say, you know, we all know this makes sense. Even if the cues in the meeting have been, actually, no, we don't all know that. Expedient can sometimes really be a high price to pay for the mistakes that otherwise wouldn't necessarily happen when we're really listening. And we're curious and want other people to say, so what do you think of this? And often we just want people to say, it's great. We don't want to hear anything else.
Yeah, I have to say I'm definitely guilty of that myself. So what are some signs to watch out for that indicates your organization or leadership is in self-seal?
Well, the biggest one is if you're in the media because of a huge mistake that nobody in the company really caught or understood in the process of making a decision that led to that. And that's why it's so important for companies to have as part of their culture a acknowledgement that it's really important that we take time to vet decisions and listen to different perspectives and challenge our own sense of rightness. It's so challenging to deal with all the variables that businesses deal with, but you can't short circuit the process of understanding whether or not you really arrived at solving a problem adequately. And if we hire people and we train them to do the things that the company needs done, it is essential that they have the respect of being able to be seen and heard when they may be at any level of the company just the solution for why an idea needs to be modified before it becomes acted upon and before problems could emerge if that idea wasn't heard.
And, you know, it's always difficult to do. I mean, standing up to leadership or, you know, even your peers who all have a strong belief that, you know, you want to raise a contrary view. And likewise, we don't like hearing, especially when it's a mission critical thing, that maybe the company's committed to the wrong approach. How do you know when it's going on within yourself? You know, when you've become the person who sort of sealed yourself up in this cocoon of your own beliefs and are not open to other thoughts?
Well, as you point out, it's all too easy to be wedded to our own sense of rightness. We pride ourselves on doing really good jobs, and we pride ourselves on trying to do the right things. But the reality is that when we're caught up in, because of stress or because of other kinds of issues that are going on for us, when our vision gets really, really narrow and we find that, you know, we are being impatient and irritable, we are interrupting. I mean, self-awareness is really important. And I think it's useful for all leaders to realize that we are constantly self-renewing or self-clogging, and we've got to figure out which we are. And a leader gets out of any vulnerability towards self-seal, I think, when he or she is really aware of what triggers them to start closing down. What triggers them to start shutting out other conflicting information? What is it that makes diversity of views uncomfortable? And how to make sure that even in times when there isn't a lot of time for discussion, that they do embrace that. There's a great story about Alex Gorsky at Johnson & Johnson having his top leaders go through processes of pitching important ideas and then playing devil's advocate to those ideas. And if people are too wedded to the soundness of what they have themselves created, he brings in outsiders to try to find what hasn't been seen by those that may not be looking critically enough at their own work, at their own outcome, because it's fundamental that we accept the fact that unintended consequences can be devastating. And that's why we have diverse teams to look at things from many different perspectives. I also think that we take care of ourselves vastly when we consider that age-old airplane line of put your own oxygen mask on first. If we're not listening and inviting discussion, if we're not breathing and trying to get to a place of being really present in situations, if we're not seeking out diverse and conflicting views, and most of all, if we're not operating out of our values. So often we talk about what our values are and how they anchor us, but they can't anchor us if we don't actually apply a conscious effort to internalize them into how we deal with situations that we may not be all that comfortable. I mean, nobody likes, particularly that I know of, to have ideas torn apart. We come up with our ideas carefully and we give it a lot of thought, but somehow we need to let go of that ownership and allow a group to own it. And that's part of the whole process of continually saying, is there a better way to do this? There's a great story that Paul O'Neill told me when he was in his first couple of weeks as being CEO and chairman of Alcoa. He came to the company with the idea that it was critical to look at everything they did and see if there was a better way. And that philosophy carried over into a whole lot of things the company did. And I think we forget that often in situations when we're under stress. We're just grateful that we come to a solution, but that's, you know, that's an invitation for ethical vulnerability, which is, you know, clearly the one thing that we all want to avoid in companies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. And as you're telling those stories and making those points, I was thinking of years ago when I read Conspiracy of Fools, Kurt Eichenwald's book about Enron and the belief anyone who questioned them, they say, well, they don't get it. They just don't get it.
Yeah.
Rather than giving credence to it. So let me close with one last question is, you know, how do you open the seal? Is it something that you can see and recognize and do yourself, or does it take something shocking to get it to happen?
Well, I think two things. I think it's really important for chief compliance and ethics officers and HR in organizations to really be mindful of, and I'm sure they already are, of the ongoing importance of encouraging leadership development with the idea that supporting leaders' self-awareness and understanding of who they are in various ways, I think is really important to a culture of it being safe to know that we're continual works in progress and we don't have to be perfect. We are constantly evolving toward that. But I think that the recognition that we get out of self-seal in one obvious way by paying attention to how our impact, what kind of an impact we're making on others. When we're having a conversation and we're looking into the eyes of someone else, we can tell if what we've said is dismissive or may seem arrogant or may seem abrupt. When it wasn't necessarily our intention, we can see that when we're shutting down ideas with an end in mind in our own head, that we're just trying to move people toward the right thing. But in the ideas and emotions of those who are feeling completely dismissed, we see it in their eyes. They stop making eye contact, their body language changes. Their voices change, you notice a lack of energy and maybe even resentment. Leaders, that kind of exchange and that kind of being present to what's actually happening gives us huge information that maybe what we said was taken the wrong way, or maybe we're going too far in our desire to be expedient and end the meeting in the next 2 seconds. That we need to go circle back to someone and say, you seemed uncomfortable about where we were going. What is it that you didn't feel that you were expressing that I wasn't, in your view, hearing? I mean, simple things like that.
And a lot of it sounds like a very good argument for encouraging humility.
Well, that's true. I mean, Catherine Schultz has a wonderful TED Talk on being wrong that probably all of your listeners have heard, but if they haven't, I really recommend it, because one of her wonderful main points is trusting too much in the sense that we're on the right side of anything is very dangerous.
Yeah, it's a great talk, and she has a whole book on the topic, which is very illuminating. So, well, Gail, thank you for illuminating this point for us. I think it's a really intriguing concept, and one that I think a lot of people listening will say they've been in similar situations. And apropos of that, I want to thank all of you who did take the time to listen to this podcast. I'm Adam Turteltaub from SCCE and ACCA saying I hope we were able to expand your compliance perspectives.